All right, so next up we've got Vikram from Texas Tech University.
So my talk is a little bit of a departure from what you'll probably see from these other ones. We're in semi-arid West Texas. We get about 500 millimeters of rainfall a year. All of our 80% of our water availability comes from the aquifer. And so it's a limited water resource. The recharge is very slow, and we have very little surface water. So what we wanted to look at is how in an urban environment, there's about 300,000 people in the city of Lubbock, another 300,000 surrounding, how in these urban environments can we reduce water consumption in the home landscape and the home lawn. So we actually did a survey of 300 homeowners in the region, and we asked them some 160 questions through this online, so we're not going to look at all those today. But 160 or so questions trying to drill down what things motivate their water usage. So we'll just look at a couple of these today. So one of the questions we asked our respondents is, how important is your lawn's appearance? And by and large, So 70% of our respondents said that their lawn's appearance is either moderately or very important to them. And I know this is a sliding scale and it's a little subjective, but a fair amount, 17%, said it was extremely important. And only about 13% of our respondents in total said that they really weren't that interested in the appearance of their lawn and their landscape. Property values are important, and a poor lawn really, or a poor landscape in general, really reduces your property value. One thing that we discussed a lot as we were trying to put this together is, do people understand how much water we're using? So we wanted to see who's actually reading their water bill when it comes in every month. And actually, a surprising number, 56% always said that they always read their water bill. Every month when it comes in, they open it and saw what was in there. We get down into the rarely and never, and we're kind of in the same ballpark. About 17% say they're not too interested in reading their water bill. They don't know what they're doing, or they don't know specifically what they're doing in their landscape. Most people are irrigating either weekly or twice per week, which lines up with the irrigation ordinances in our area. You're allowed 2 irrigation times per week for a total of 1.5 inches. And so that's in general plenty of water for most turf grasses that we grow for most of the growing season. We have some people definitely that irrigate more than twice per week, and those are the folks that, when you ask them questions like this, they start to get a little upset and say, are you going to tell me what to do with my water? And that's that demographic there that irrigate daily or a whole lot. What's interesting here in this bottom right graph, is we asked what do you do with your irrigation practices when all these different things happen? So it rains. It hasn't been raining. There are freezing temperatures, high winds, extremely high temperatures. Our average wind speed is about 13 miles per hour in where we are in West Texas. That's artificially low, I think. So it's really windy and hot and dry. And all of them said, yeah, we'll change our water, we'll change our water practices for these environmental conditions. But when they go and read their water bill and see how much their water is costing them, they're not interested in changing their management. So that tells us a couple of things. I think the lawn's appearance in general is important to the average homeowner, regardless of the overall plant health or the sustainability, or in a lot of what we've seen, or than the money. They're familiar with their bills. They are following the ordinances, but in general, water's probably just not expensive enough, and the ordinances and the fines are not, they don't have enough teeth, they're not severe enough to really cause a lot of change there. But if it rains, they'll turn off their system, or they'll change their system. If it's really windy, they'll change their system. So it looks like the environmental factors and possibly from some of our other questions that are not included here, kind of an appeal to the collective good, that if I don't save water today, my kids won't have water, or my neighbors won't have water, or the agriculture that funds our industry won't have water available. That seems to be a major player in some of this decision making. So through the rest of our study, we're looking at price versus regulation versus, again, this appeal to the collective good to see which things are big motivators. We also have some things in there to look at different landscape styles. They're presented with homes with different styles of landscapes at different price points, and they choose their favorite and which one they're most likely to purchase. And then also the price of the landscape and the price of water use. So that's all I have. Thank you.